Molly Parker. She's a writer for the Southern Illinois, and she's on the other end of the line this morning. Having a little problem there this morning, Molly. Thanks for joining us, Molly. How you been? Well?
I'm good, Tom. Thanks for having me.
How long have you been following the Alexander County Housing Authority story?
I was just looking back the other day. It'll be 2 years later in August, and so we would be entering a third year of coverage going into September, which we do plan to keep covering this. So.
And it's been a slog. It's been a slog for you. I mean, when I remember reading the first articles, because I remember reading, and one of the lines you had written was, it costs less to pay them not to work. And that at once that I read that line in your story, I was hooked.
Yeah, it's been a story of twists and turns and lots of political stuff bubbling, just below the surface. Of course, the real tragedy is those who are caught in the middle of all this, the residents who are being relocated from their homes and aren't sure where they're going to go at this point.
You know, you've got what, four legislators in D.C. now saying there should be an investigation. Corruption is what's led to these people living in the conditions that are exist in this housing authority. I mean, they just came right out and said it. Corruption is what did it, and we want an investigation. But then again, if you read your story, it really, your series of stories, you are heavy on math and facts. And I think some of it is, boy, you just can't help but wince at some of the financial figures.
Yeah, and HUD came in and did a financial review that they released in April and said the housing authority is insolvent. Without major corrective action, it will be bankrupt. And they looked at options included filing for bankruptcy or combining with a neighboring housing authority like Pulaski County, or getting out of the business of public housing in Alexander County altogether, which no one wants to see happen. And HUD has been able to sort of stave off some of those worst-case scenarios at this point. But it really is still a tenuous situation.
And here's the thing. After talking with you yesterday and inviting you to be on the show today, I went out and did a little light reading about the recent appearance by HUD Secretary Ben Carson. And it seemed like there was a shift. There was a, this is over. I kind of envisioned the people over at the riverboat, not far away from Carroll at Metropolis, taking their hands and walking away from the table. But after Ben Carson's comments, which I believe were, by the grace of God, I think we can save this place, it seems like there's two confusing messages that conflict out there right now.
And that's what I spent most of my day yesterday trying to sort through, you know, after getting a little sleep, after the day that he was down and everyone, talking about that and working on coverage of that actual event, to try to sort of decipher, well, what does this mean? And, you know, there definitely have been conflicting messages in Carroll, and I think that's something that someone, and really HUD, is responsible for addressing that at this point, I believe, because you've had our U.S. senators have been down, a Representative Boss and others, really in a bipartisan way, saying we wish something else could be done, but not necessarily coming to the table with a concrete solution despite their best efforts. And HUD saying, you know, whether this is right, wrong, or indifferent, they're saying we can't put money into building new housing. The best we can do is try to triage this current situation, save the senior and disability housing that we already have, and help families relocate into other communities. So, you know, whether they should invest, perhaps that's a question. Perhaps that's something if our senators and congressmen believe is the case, that they, I don't know what their options are to move that through Congress, but this is what HUD's saying. And then you're right, Secretary Carson, though, came and said, you know, maybe God can save this town. We're going to see what we can do. Certainly people walked away with a feeling like maybe something was going to happen as far as building new housing. But you and I talked about yesterday, I've had conversations with the staff, including his head spokesperson at HUD in Washington, and they're not indicating that there was a sea change in what's going forward. And they said, we are still encouraging families to move. That doesn't mean that things can't come in place later. Their take on that is, if CARO is able to develop economically with a port or whatever they're looking at, and then if that private investor wants to come in the future and help build housing, there's no reason people can't take their vouchers back to CARO. But they're not really suggesting that what was said is the way that other people are perceiving it said. Even Mike Boss and I had a conversation about that, you know, and he and I talked about what he perceived to be the case, and then I read him, you know, the spokesperson's comments that he made to me in an email, and he said, I don't know, I guess we need to all figure out how to get on the same page. And to me, that's got to be priority one right now is, you know, let's put politics aside, because families are really caught in the middle of not exactly knowing whether they should stay put and something's going to come out of the ground, say, in December, or whether they should be trying to leave before the winter when, as we've reported in those previous stories, the heating system is so inadequate that you've got rows of families in certain units or certain building sections that are having to heat with their ovens open, which is just a disaster waiting to happen, and no one wants to see that.
Yeah, I've actually seen that done on more than one occasion. And I'm like, I'm sorry, why is everybody in the kitchen? It's the only place we have any heat because that's where the oven, and the oven door is open and everybody's in front of the stove. I've seen it happen, and not just in Cairo, too, by the way. You know, you know what's interesting is you look at some of the financial figures and you wonder, what, they didn't have money for rat poison? I mean, if you spend this kind of money on payroll, I mean, what was ever really truly done to repair, move forward, fix, remediate some of the damage? And it seemed like it was so embarrassing and everybody knew about it, they just kind of turned their face away, and that's how we got here, isn't it? Because, I mean, you've got people demanding investigations. Well, one person demanding investigations has been in office since 1997, and now it's news? This is not news to anybody in Southern Illinois.
Well, we all know that those buildings didn't get in the condition that they are in right now over the course of 2 or 3 or 4 years. It's been 10 years or 20 years. Secretary Carson said as much, and if there was anything to take away from that, he did very bluntly say that HUD is responsible for the lack of oversight that occurred here, that there is no question in his mind that those units should have been flagged a long time ago as having fallen to a place that they were no longer, you know, safe and sanitary for families, or certainly to a point where they should have been triggering major corrective action much, much, much sooner than occurred.
All right, Molly, who was responsible for reporting to HUD the condition and turning this in and saying we have a problem here? Whose responsibility was that?
Well, as I understand it, HUD does, part of HUD's oversight role in the Region 5 Chicago office for this region, for Illinois and other Midwestern states, is they do annual inspections. So there were HUD inspectors who were down here giving these units passing scores. That's why a lot of people are very, very angry also at HUD, certainly at the local ACHA managers, but also at the oversight function. And again, that's when Secretary Carson said, we failed, HUD failed. And it wasn't his administration at the time, you know, to be fair, he's been there since March. And it may have spanned several administrations, frankly. I don't know. We're trying to pull some of those inspection reports to see. There's rumors of, you know, folks say in town, well, they just went to a few units, you know, and they had those units fixed up and they didn't spend time actually looking around, whether it was lazy or neglect, you know, I don't know. But Secretary Carson said that this has happened in other places in the country, too, and he has fired or released 42 contract inspectors, and they're going to make those career inspectors because there's been a real some issues with the inspection process and housing authorities, and particularly in Alexander County.
Well, I hope you'll come back as we continue to track this story, and you know, because I don't think any of this would have happened without you. I don't believe that's hyperbole either, Molly. I don't believe any of this attention would have been drawn had you not been on this subject for 2 years and relentless in your following of this subject and the proof and documentation that you've provided to the public.
Well, local journalism still matters, as you know, Tom, and you're part of that too. And, you know, sometimes I wish we didn't have to knock at the door so hard and so long to get change. You know, if a story like this were in the New York Times about something up in a big city, you know, I think action is immediate. It just takes us a lot longer to get attention down here, as you know, but things are starting to move. So there is some encouragement there.
Well, I'm looking forward to your Pulitzer.
Thank you, Tom.
do I need to pay somebody for that or turn in something from do I need to put an application in for you? I mean, what's the deal on that? I've never hope of having one myself, but I'd love to help you out. So,
well, that's very kind. Obviously, right now, we're just kind of focused on what's going on here and trying to dig in, try not to think about those kinds of things. But,
right.
You know, I do really appreciate the encouragement, because there are days that I don't know what I'm doing, where I feel like, you know, it's a really, really gut-wrenching situation, because people need to get out of those housing, and that's the bottom line. But to watch a community get torn apart, you know, it hurts me too. And you know this. I'm from Johnson County down in Simpson. I'm from that area that I would describe as southernmost Illinois, the lower five, the lower seven counties. And it hurts, you know, it hurts to watch these kinds of things happen. It, you know, to me, children and families and seniors certainly have to be prioritized above everything else. But, you know, right below that is the fabric of our communities, and it's hard to watch that happen. It really is.